Hello and welcome to Saffron Says. It's heard every week here on Global Community Radio, Channel 1, News and More, Geneva, New York, globalcommunityradio.blogspot.com, and the Big Red Button Press for the Best, Victor, New York, thebigredbutton.info. So today I want to do an extended talk about, we focused one time before on Regina Mills, the Evil Queen, and Regina's mother, Cora. These were all born beings. And they had an upbringing, and they, you know, they were born not knowing right from wrong. So they had kind of their own personalities. And they kind of had their own, you know, life experiences. Born beings. The Evil Queen, not so much, because she was more of a created being, but not in the way that we're talking about. The Evil Queen was more created due to someone's anger and frustration and jealousy and other emotions like that. She was created through magic, through the manifestation of these emotions, and therefore the Evil Queen only knew evil. The only way that the Evil Queen was even remotely redeemed is when Regina decided to basically take her heart and give the Evil Queen some of her light and take back some of the darkness from the Evil Queen. That's the only way that that worked. So let's look at a few created beings. Now, I wanted to initially compare the Regina being a born being to Majin Buu, a created being. But then I got to thinking about other created beings, because they don't always behave the same way. So, let's kind of look at, you know, where I wanted to start, and then we'll kind of go on to another created being, and we'll kind of see where that leads us. So let's start with Majin Buu. Majin Buu from Dragon Ball Z. So, many, many, many years ago, before the start of the series, there was a wizard called Bibbidi. Now, Bibbidi was a wizard. And he was of the Majin persuasion. He had the mark of the Majin and all those things. He created a being that he designed to destroy planets. For what motives, I don't know. But let's just leave it at Bibbidi is evil. Somewhere in his existence, he became evil. I don't know what it is, but basically, he created Buu to be evil. Majin Buu is evil. Okay? So Majin Buu unchecked as Kid Buu is evil. Now, why is he called Kid Buu? Well, it's because he basically is in, like, his purest form. He's in his youngest form. But it was, at the time, his only form. And he was unchecked, completely unchecked, but he did do what Bobbidi kind of said to a degree. Now, Bobbidi was able to seal, or Bibbidi, sorry, Bibbidi, Bibbidi, Bibbidi. Bibbidi was able to seal Kid Buu into a magic orb, which he could use to then use Kid Buu as basically a weapon. He would take it to planets and then let Kid Buu out of the orb, and Kid Buu would do as he was created to do, to destroy the planet. He, as a created being, that is all he was designed to do, destroy planets. So he was nothing but evil. He had Bibbidi's evil all over the place. Until one day, he came to the secret world of the Kais. Not secret, but it's the world of the Kais. There are four Grand Kais. One from the north, one from the east, one from the south, and one from the west. Those are the four grand Kais. I don't remember which Kai did well. Okay. So something to be said about the Kais. They are innocent. This was, however, the first time that Majin Buu used his absorb ability. In absorbing the Kais, this caused Buu to not only take on the powers of the Kais, but he also started to take on kind of some of their characteristics, as well as some appearances. So after absorbing one Kai, he became very muscular. After absorbing another, I don't remember what else happened. After absorbing the third, you know, more muscles. This did kind of weaken him in power a little bit, mainly because the Kais, you know, weren't very... I mean, yeah, they're strong, but they weren't as strong as Majin Buu. So you've got their... And also their kind of thing that's basically holding Buu back now is their innocence. So now Buu is a little bit more innocent. So then eventually Buu absorbs the fourth Kai, who's a bit fat, which I only say this because it kind of gives reason or credence to Buu's appearance. Now, Buu has all these four innocent Kais. He becomes a fat, innocent... So he's innocent, which makes him very childlike. But the thing is, when you have all that purity and all that evil kind of mixing, they stalemate each other. And you have the whole idea of not really knowing right from wrong. So he's fat. He wants to eat more as well. So eventually Bibbidi seals Buu up in the ball again. And then Bobbidi is born. And Bobbidi is able to reawaken Buu. And so Buu, created being, innocent, after absorbing all the Kais. He still wants to destroy, but he kind of sees it as playing. Because again, his innocence is kind of mixing with evil, and he doesn't know right from wrong. He doesn't know what to do with this innocence, and he doesn't know what to do with the evil. The first thing that happens is that he encounters a blind kid who he helps to see. So with the intent of destroying him. When the blind kid first shows Buu, you know, some semblance of love, you know, we see that, you know, Buu kind of softens up and ultimately kills Bobbidi because Bobbidi is trying to control Buu and Buu wants to basically have his own existence. Well, Buu eventually befriends Mr. Satan, Mr. Hercule Satan, as well as a dog named Bee. So Buu, Hercule, and Bee. Eventually, though, someone shoots the puppy in it and trying to shoot Buu as well, because Buu is, well, scary. And this causes Buu to become angry and basically let all his anger out. But when he does this, he basically expels all of his evil. So there are now two Boos. There's good Buu. I refuse to call him by the other colorful moniker that they call him, because I'm just not the big fan of using that moniker. So there's good Buu, innocent Buu, and then evil Buu. Now, evil Buu has the same desire to eat as well. So what he does, he takes good Buu, turns him into chocolate, eats him. But in doing so, he also weakens him. So you've got, now, looks like Kid Buu, but is much stronger because now it's got the powers of Good Buu, and it's also evil. So now you have Super Buu. So then, eventually, Superboo, now being evil, because obviously he's trapped his innocent self inside of him. Superboo, being evil, starts to absorb Gohan, Goten, Trunks, Gotenks. Well, because there's Gotenks is Goten and Trunks, and then starts to absorb everyone, and as well as turn some others into snacks and eat them. Now, that said, when he does this, Goku and Vegeta are having none of it, and basically, ultimately, they let Boo absorb them. Inside of Boo, they find all these people in these bubblegum-looking chrysalises, as well as the kid Boo. Or no, not the kid Boo. Innocent Boo. Baby Boo. Baby-sounding Boo. Falsetto-y Boo. I don't want to use the other moniker. So they set him free, and ultimately, when he becomes free and everyone else becomes free, Super Boo reverts back to Kid Boo. Ultimately, they do get the innocent Boo out of there and ultimately kill Kid Boo. So now the innocent Boo, evil expunged, still a created being but has no evil, so he is now, like, completely good. So let's look at another created being. I was going to look at Cell, but there is not much to Cell's character. There's also nothing in him that would really allow him to become good. Because he absorbs, and he basically uses that to become energized and basically change his body and become his perfect form, and then eventually his super perfect form. So there's not really much to be said for Cell. But we're going to jump over to Pokemon and look at another created being, Mewtwo. Now, Mewtwo was created by a scientist in an attempt to basically be used as an experiment, even though Team Rocket ordered them to create Mewtwo, but the scientist intends to use it as an experiment to bring back his daughter, Amber. But Team Rocket has other ideas. So, at first, and I have never actually seen this, because I think they actually cut it from part of the one movie, but they actually cut the scene with Amber 2 and Mewtwo and Ivysaur 2 and Squirtle 2 and, or no, Bulbasaur 2, Squirtle 2, and Charmander 2, where it's like young Mewtwo. And Amber's explaining, like, the world that they kind of exist in this sort of mind space. And so, Mewtwo, at first, is, you know, completely innocent. He is 100% innocent. Team Rocket then ultimately armors him up in an attempt to control him. Team Rocket wants to control Mewtwo. And Mewtwo, you know, just ultimately sees Pokemon as like slaves to humans, which obviously he's a Pokemon, so he's not happy about this. He sees humans as enslaving Pokemon, so he basically destroys Team Rocket's research lab. And he also sees Pokemon themselves as a sort of inferior because, you know, they're not the super clones. So he's got an issue with humans and most other Pokemon. Because of Pokemon that serve humans as well. So his whole goal is to basically create a world of himself and his clone Pokemon. So eventually, what happens in Pokemon the first movie is he sees Ash Ketchum, you know, stop their battle and sacrifice himself, turning him into stone, and sees Pikachu, you know, crying over him, crying over Ash, and this basically, this breaks Ash free. And he says, you know, why would this fool, this human, do that to stop these powerful Pokemon between Mewtwo and Mew? And he realizes that not all humans are bad. I don't remember. It's not really explained why he has the tournament on New Island anyways. Maybe it's just to test his own. Like, he knows that his super Pokemon are the best and his clones are the best. But again, here you have the sort of rebirth and reformation of a created being. You don't see that so much with Cell, because he was basically fed his instructions by a computer. Absorb Android 17 and 18, become perfect. You have the powers of Goku, Piccolo, Vegeta, Gohan, Frieza, basically all the world's strongest warriors. So Cell, once he becomes perfect, and this is kind of where his own thing kicks in, is he says, you know, I am perfect, I am like the ultimate, I am the greatest. And so his ego kind of kicks in and says, this planet, you know, is worthless. I'm just going to destroy it if I win my Cell games that I'm hosting. Which, okay, yeah, that's bad. So Cell ultimately ends up in hell a few different times because of his actions. And that being said, you know, with Cell, there's like one time, I think, where he decides, okay, maybe this is, you know, he kind of plays enemy of my enemy at that point, because with Android 21 on the loose, you know, he doesn't want to get obliterated or have these waves dampening his powers. Another example of kind of the idea of created beings is Android number 16, where he's basically hellbent on basically, Android 16 is basically hellbent on destroying Goku, because that is what Dr. Gerot kind of programmed him to do. So again, you've got the whole idea of, you know, created beings versus ones that are born and are actually able to learn, kind of. You know, they're kind of able to learn their own thing. Let's look at another example, for instance. Another evil created being that does not so much repent. But Nikolai Carpathia, okay, let's look at how he was born, for an example. He is, in a sense, a created being. But he was also born. So let's look at what happens here. He was conceived through two sperm that became a hybrid sperm. And it was of his two homosexual fathers. And then basically was that sperm was artificially inseminated into a woman named Marilena Carpathia, who, so this was all a plan, this was all a scheme. She, meanwhile, was basically embracing, not necessarily embracing, but studying under Viv Ivansova at the time, Viviana Ivansova, to be a Luciferian. And so Lucifer, Satan, basically gave her, you know, instructions to sacrifice a mouse at Nikolai's birth. Otherwise, you know, he'd be a stillborn. So now you've got satanic sacrifice creating Nikolai, and so he's an example of not only kind of a created being, but also a born one. He was raised Luciferian, not really knowing kind of the Christian way. And again, with Left Behind, the Christian is kind of the good one. But being a human, he was, you know, he could have learned differently, but he sought power. Innocent. And he had many chances to turn back. But he didn't. And therefore, my headphones are short now. And therefore, you know, ultimately met his fate. I have often wondered about with the indwelling, when Satan possesses him in the indwelling, it's interesting because, you know, what does that possession do? Does it give Satan pure control over Nikolai? Does it just give Satan a body to exist? What thoughts are of Nikolai? What ones are of Satan? And I have to wonder that. Because there's one part where Nikolai acts very arrogant, and Satan says, you know, you are a vessel, you are a jar of clay for my purpose, and blah, 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 blah. And so that led me to wonder how does that fit? How does that fit together? And that's, you know, something tricky to figure out in his own right. So he was a created being, but also born. And then when you get into born beings, again, with Regina, you get into the whole idea of nature versus nurture and things like that. But with created beings, it's usually very straightforward about, you know, what they tell the created being to do and how to behave. And they usually, you know, end up giving the created being a sort of pre-existing set of instructions, like a really basic set of instructions. So that being said, I'm not quite sure where I'm going to go from here. Now that said, Saffron says, have a nice week.